Ok, eso es Hashem. Shabbos Shal Bitochen, the third parak. We are in Hakdama Hashlishis, the third of the things you have to have in place in order to achieve true full Bitochen. We spent time on this last week. It's the fine point of the understanding that our trust is supposed to be only on Hashem, not on anyone else. And the tough point in that is the understanding that even when whatever it is that we're getting, let's say your parnasa involves two primary causes: your own abilities, you know the job, you do it well. And your employer, who's gives you a good deal, treats you well, etc. So the ability to still be feeling that my parnosa comes only from Hashem. Well, I mean, so what about my abilities and what about my employer? Since Hashem wants me to have that parnosa, he put both of these things into my life. But these are both given by him, these are not the causes. And Avigdor Miller, the way he laid this down, he said they said in Kelm that the epitome of this is the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem in Ha'aretz. He said, you have to picture the farmer back in those days who spent the previous year. He plowed, he planted. Plowing, it's an easy word to say. I never actually tried it, but just picturing what it looks like in the pictures, I'm happy I never tried it. Schlepping a vacuum cleaner up steps seems like easy enough. Everything involved, then the reaping and all the processes involved in actually preparing the bread. Finally, you know, the culmination, the climax of the whole process is that steaming loaf of bread is finally coming out of the oven. The first one of this year's crops. The first one of this year's crops is finally coming out of the oven. And that steaming, aromatic loaf of bread is carrying all of his sweat, blood, and tears over the years. And now what's he supposed to say? Hashem brought this bread out of the ground. Where was I? So that's the challenge. That yes, you are expected to go about the material efforts involved and still maintain the understanding. That is, we might say, the challenge of combining Hishtadlus with Bitachon. That Hishtadlus, the material means, are not supposed to be two separate realms. There are the areas we are supposed to do Hishtadlus and the areas we are supposed to do Bitachon. It's one of the biggest misconceptions that the Chovas HaLevavos does away with very clearly at length throughout the course of the whole Shaar HaBitachon. There aren't the areas of Hishtadlus and the areas of Bitachon, but rather, wherever Hishtadlus is relevant, Hashem expects you to be doing your Hishtadlus for the reasons that we'll discuss. And the whole challenge is to go about it with the understanding that these are all external mediums. But Hashem is the one lamaisa deciding to provide it for me. This really goes a few steps further. I think I've related here in the past about someone asked me, this was a chassan who was getting married, Baruch Hashem, in very normal circumstances. And we're talking about davening for the success of the home, etc., etc. And then he said to me, something he's struggling with, but it's a very blessed struggle. His father is a very capable person. His father is a very capable person. His father's on top of everything from A to Z. So he said, like, it's a little hard for me. I'd like to feel a little more like Hashem is taking care of things. Right? So the answer to this is what I told him. I said, on the contrary, Hashem is caring for you by giving you that kind of father. Right? And that's exactly the point that we're making. To be able to look at the father and say, oh, here is how Hashem is taking care of me. This is how Hashem is taking care of me. You know what? That's actually some of the depth behind the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. It's not just about the very basic element of basic being having a tzuras Adam and being able to have gratitude and being able to have respect, but it goes beyond that, it goes deeper than that. If you understand that, Hashem says, I'm going to take care of you when I put you into Olam Hazeh. When I put you into Olam Hazeh, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to send certain shlichim of mine from on high to be my representatives toward you. And then, there's a knock at the door, and there's a man and woman standing there. Let us introduce ourselves. We're going to be your parents for the next X amount of years, right? These parents are Ba'etzem. I'm saying this is the divine representative. This is who Hashem is sending to act as his representative toward you. It takes the whole concept a step further and a step deeper. Even though gratitude across a toiv, natural respect for parents should be endlessly deep and profound. But it goes that step further in the understanding that these are Hashem's representatives towards you, and therefore you have to relate to them with a certain reverence, with a certain ema, if we'll put it that way. That's really where Moira Avaim comes in. Let's do this. Question.
Yeah, so what Hashem sends neglectful, abusive, judgmental, then what are you supposed to think about that?
Oh, okay. So here we're getting into the more complicated instances, but first let's just take the concept in a general way. In a general way, that's the understanding that parents carry a certain divinity toward you. Now, the truth is, you're asking about a specific, but let's just understand, let's take it to a much more specific, take it away from parents for a minute, and then we'll circle back to your question. You know that there are halachas, you're not allowed to treat bread with disrespect. Everybody's familiar with that in a general way. What does that mean exactly? Why can't I disrespect bread? Right? You're not supposed to throw bread. There are halachas about how you discard of it, right? How you throw it in the garbage. Wrap it up, etc. All kinds of different halachas about respecting bread. Where does this come from? I don't know any bread that actually became offended. Oh, another example. Not to be mevaze the bread when you make kiddush, we cover the challah over. The challah shouldn't be ashamed. I never saw my challah change colors when they kid. Maybe it's because I always cover it. I don't know. But what's the idea? What is this? The understanding is again. Sometimes you see, if we'll use this example, if we'll use this example. A chassid gets something from the Rebbe. Okay. There's actually a very humorous little maaseh with this, where there was, in one chassidus, like at the end of Simchas Torah, the Rebbe would throw apples out to the crowd. And whoever was able to actually catch an apple that was like contained all the bracha in the world. So there was this one family who the father actually caught an apple and he brought it home. He had a nice large family. They sat down at the table, all the kids around the table, and the father started cutting it into, trying to get 12 precise slices. And apparently, exactly then, they had given in their application for a discount in the Arnona or something, and someone came to audit them. And this person was approaching the house. He saw through the window how the father is sitting with the apple and measuring out the exact slices. He said, okay, fine, this family makes the bill, that's all. But whatever the case is, you'll relate to it with a certain reverence, right? Right? The dollar, the framed dollar. What is that? It's where it came from. It's obviously not the thing itself. I have $100 bills. I relate to them with reverence, believe me, but to a limited extent. I'm ready to part with them, but for the right exchange. But what's the idea? The idea is where this came from, what it represents. So if you understand that Hashem is saying, bread, that's how actually the Mishnah Berurah puts it down. Bread, this is Hashem saying, this is how I'm going to keep you alive. Ooh, you relate to it with a certain reverence because this is what Hashem sent to you, Ben HaShemayim. This is Hashem's means of your life that he's sending to you, Ben HaShemayim. You relate to it with reverence because of who you got it from. Who you got it from. So we come to the point, what happens in a case where a person had parents who are not, that's a big discussion. On the one hand, we can say that yes, Hashem deals each person different packages. Some people, Hashem gives wonderful parents, but other disadvantages. Everybody comes with a fully rounded package. I do want to say, I want to try to speak out of both sides of my mouth at the same time, that when it comes to having challenging parents, there's a combination of two things. On the one hand, yes, there can be a certain challenge that's sent to a person. On the other hand, today, the mode is to basically, okay, if you'll allow me to be a little blunt, to turn all parents into that. It's almost like very fashionable, the parent bashing. Any child's difficulties become, the effect of the fact that his parents may have been a little human. But, and again, this is not to discount the fact that yes, there could be difficulties, etc. But if we'll put it this way, let's say somebody came and gave you a gift, so I'm going to give you a car. I'm going to give you a car. Turns out that the car doesn't have air conditioning. So now, Lamaisa, did this person give you a gift, or were they just bad to you? Because driving in a car without air conditioning is hard. Or do you say, okay, this person didn't give me the air conditioning. Let me go get air conditioning myself and be grateful for a car without air conditioning. Now, again, I don't want to oversimplify it. I'm just trying to bring out a point that sometimes has to be considered. There's a very, very wide spectrum of instances of this point. I realize that you have to find the place on the spectrum and figure out how to apply it. Obviously, we can't start addressing each case with its particulars now. Okay.
Do you have to give reverence to parents that are abusive, or reverence to bread, let's say, that was poisoned, like by the Nazis or something? Like, do you, I mean, if it's bad, do you have to give reverence to it? Is it still considered a gift from Hashem?
That question of reverence to parents who just caused misery, et cetera, is the classic question that can't be addressed in an overall kind of way because it's so specific to the case. What we'll say is that there's a combination of two things that, in a very broad way, should be happening. Every person has to get the help they need, every person has to get the guidance that they need in order to reach a place of being a healthy, functioning human being. It's very important in that context that the guidance have a certain Tayridika element to it or supervision to it, because so that it shouldn't get to a place of why not just knock the parents out of the window and turn them into the, make a convenient way of an address to throw all of the problems on. Now, if it is properly guided, there is liable to be a combination of, on the one hand, acknowledging the difficulties, working with them, taking the steps you need to take. Again, when it's well guided by a proper professional who works with Torah authorities, it's very, very important. Otherwise, a professional who isn't can cause a lot of spiritual problems. And also other kinds of problems. But and again, I'm not the one to give this guidance. You have to be guided by professionals who are thoroughly rooted in the Torah approach and getting Torah-dikah guidance so that the person can, on the one hand, be able to develop healthily and take the steps that they need to develop healthily to heal from things that they may have to heal from, with the overall goal being, at least in the theoretical realm, to be able to, yes, get to a place where they will revere them. Will that be possible in every case? Will it not? That's already subject to the case. But we don't want to say in an overall way, just forget about Okay. There are many things that it's a very tough reality our times. When on the one hand, emotional difficulties are rampant, and there are real causes for it. And on the other hand, we still don't want to get sucked up into the very modern approach of just being quick to discount authority, discount parents, et cetera, et cetera. It's a very fine line. Okay. But back to our point. Our point is, we're coming back to this basic point, understanding that the causes of your parnasa, the causes of your bracha, to be able to see them as, this is Hashem taking care of me. This is Hashem taking care of me. It's not that, oh boy, if I didn't have this employer, where would I be? If you didn't have this employer, Hashem would have had a different setup for you. This is the reality that He wants for you. If I didn't have this specific talent, where would I be? No, Hashem wanted you to have that bracha, and therefore He gave you the talent that's going to help you get it. That's the way to bring it together. That's the way to bring together that, yes, I'm not denying the fact that there are people in my lives, factors in my life that are helping me with my parnasa, but yet the understanding that it's all Hashem. Hashem didn't need any help, and He's the one who set these things up in my life, because right now, this is His medium to give me that parnasa. Question.
Where does hishtadlus come in? That's always the real question with the job. You put in the extra hours so you don't have enough money to finish the month.
So that's always the endless question. So the truth is that we're in, this is his third premise for proper bitachon. The fifth one is having a proper understanding of the concept of hishtadlus, and that he's going to discuss at length. And I'll just say this, at the end of the day, it's very hard to have absolute guidelines, yet people tend to think that it's too beyond. And as we work through the Chavos HaLevavos Be'ezras Hashem, we will have broad strokes.
Big Talmud Chacham, big family, and he was an electrician. And of course, he always had work. When he made enough for the day, he sat down.
So back to the Mismedrash.
That was the day. He didn't worry about what's going to be tomorrow and what am I going to do. This was really, and this is the problem.
Wow.
You're talking with the Ishtadlis.
With
the Ishtadlis. Good, 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 good.
He has a family, he's got his
Yep.
support for this, and all this very well.
So let's see.
Am I allowed, it's a good thing, am I allowed to say his name?
What's that?
Am I allowed to say his name?
If you know that, he would be okay with
Probably not.
it. Okay. So again, we'll move on. We'll see. We'll see. It seems that there will be gray areas, but we'll have broad strokes to work with. Okay, let's move on. Okay, elaborate on this point a little more. I think we discussed it enough this week and last. The next, we'll move on to the next premise. The next premise for true bitachon is shetiash gachosay chazaka. You should be very conscientious and energetic to be doing what Hashem expects of you. To be doing what Hashem expects of you. To do his mitzvahs, keep away from what he tells you not to do. You would like to trust that Hashem is going to take care of you and see to your wants and needs, so you make sure that it's mutual. Now, this is tricky. Let's see. So that Hashem should say, all right, it's warranted. Your trust in me is warranted because you're doing your side of the deal. Okay. So now, Chazal said, you make his will yours in order that he'll make your will his. And you should negate your will before his. That brings you closer to him, and then he'll put you before others.
380 in the fell time.
380.
380
So what's the point? The point here that the Chavos HaLevavos is making a very simple point. What happens if a person says, comes to somebody and makes a deal? You know, I'll give A, you give B. Okay, fine. You promise you'll give B? Yes. Come back to the person 2 weeks later. Where's the B? Says, well, you didn't give me A. Oh, but you told me you're going to give me B. Well, if you didn't give me A, the deal was, you give me A, I'll give you B. So here, you can't come to Hashem and say, why aren't you taking care of me? I heard a Maisa My grandmother used to tell this mice all the time. Someone came to the Lubavitcher Rebbe and said to him, this person was going through a certain tzaras and said, you kept talking about Mashiach coming, no, what's the story? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said to this person, listen, I'm doing everything I can to make it happen. Are you? Meaning there are certain things involved. There's activities working toward it. So this is the point that the Chovas HaLevavos is making. The point being, Hashem says, well, okay, the point in itself is simple. I was going to get to a deeper aspect of it. The point in itself is simple, but we have to explain something. Earlier, the Chovas HaLevavos said that one of, if you remember, the 7 points of Bitachon that we said are the understanding that Hashem doesn't need you to earn it. He's going to be meitiv, he's going to give you his good, he wants to do good for you, regardless of whether you earned it or not. Now here he's telling us, 1 minute, you want Hashem to be taking care of you, you have to be making sure to be doing your side of the deal. How did the two come together? How did the two come together? Can I trust that Hashem will take care of me unconditionally? Or, as we seem to be seeing here, do I have to be earning it by doing my end of the deal? So it looks like a contradiction. It isn't really. It's actually pretty simple. You have to be doing your side of the deal, meaning you have to be conscientiously serving Hashem. You have to be a loyal servant. If you want to trust that he's doing everything best for you, you have to be in his system. You have to be in his system, and you have to be doing everything you can to be operating as a loyal child of Hashem, as a loyal daughter, as a loyal servant. We carry both privileged roles together, simultaneously. At the same time, you don't have to start worrying about, see, if you've been through Chovas HaLevavos all the way from the beginning, you have a deep appreciation of what it means to be able to see. And now you start thinking to yourself, okay, so what am I doing to pay for that? And on top of that, I have to cover my taste buds. And on top of that, I have to cover my hearing. And I want to make sure that I'm, you know, paying back on all fronts and that I'm doing enough to be able to trust. What happens if one day I can't, let's say I have it all worked out. Okay, my Shabbos candles are for my digestive system. And davening is for my eyesight. And all the things that I learned in Chovas HaLevavos, I have a whole list of what's for what. Right? And then one day, I can't do one of the things. So is my hearing going to fail? That's where we say, don't worry about it. You're not going to be able to pay Hashem back anyways. And the system is set up. He wants to do for you much, much more than you can ever pay him for. The whole system, the reason he created you is because he wants to give you his good. Because he wanted a relationship with you. Because he wants to love you. And in that capacity, in that relationship, he's going to be pouring on much more than you can ever account for. Much more than you can ever deserve. Much more than you can ever repay. So in that sense, don't worry about it. Feel comfortable. Feel indebted. Feel gratitude, but feel comfortable with the fact that you can't cover everything that Hashem has given to you. That's how he wants it set up. What does he want to see? He wants to see that what he does want, that you're trying, exactly. That you are trying to be loyal, that you are in the system. You're not spiting him. That's the point. You can't come and say, well, Hashem, I'm going to completely defy your will, but I do expect it to keep coming. Then Hashem says, wait, Adkan, I'm willing to do a lot for you. I'm going to do a lot more than you can ever deserve. But if you start spiting me, then you might start running into problems. Yes. Well, let's take it a step further. Let's understand it to a bit of a deeper level. But you know, before we do that, I just want to make sure this is clear, because this is a very fundamental point. This is also a fine point. I'll say, for example, people daven for things. People have and I hope this is taken right. This is a point that has to be expressed right and has to be understood right. But like, for example, people have a list of things that they daven for. Sometimes a person might feel like, let's say one day, for whatever reason, weren't able to say everything. I dropped the ball here. It's going to crash like a china plate. Here we come back to the Chovas HaLevavos' point. Hashem wants you to be serving him in the way that he wants. Don't feel like you have to be holding all of his toivis to you in your hands and making sure that you're never losing track of any of them. Trust him. He wants to take care of you. He wants your good. He's taking care of you in a way that you can never daven for. You're going to daven for all your systems every day, all your physical systems every day. You're going to daven for the functioning of all your limbs every day. To an extent, you should do that a little bit. Not to an extent that's going to start making you go over the deep end. But don't worry, Hashem is taking, he wants to see you conscientiously serving him. And if here or there you're not able to cover this or that, he wants to take care of you. Again, once Chalila, a person is spiting him, then you have to expect to see that reflected in his attitude toward you too. Now let's take that to a little bit of a deeper level, if we understand that point. Even then, even if a person does spite him, Chalila, Hashem is still taking care of the person. Hashem is still taking care of the person with love, with perhaps more of a disappointed love, kviyachol, perhaps more of a pained love, but it's still the same love. But, and here we'll give the mashal as follows. Let's say a parent tells the child, don't climb on that tree, it's a dangerous tree. Okay? And the child does climb on that tree, despite it being a dangerous tree, because he knows that nothing can happen. And then the child falls off, and the child gets a gash in his forehead, chas v'shalom. And now the parent has to take the child for stitches. Okay? And the stitches hurt. The processor, well, the fall hurt. Okay, fine. But now the parent is putting through the child pain in terms of taking the child for stitches. First of all, you know, they do the cleansing of the area that itself can hurt a lot. And then the stitches themselves can hurt a lot. And here, the child turns to the parent and says, listen, I know you're only doing everything for my good and you love me unconditionally. So this would have happened even if I wouldn't have climbed the tree. The parent says, no, I had to do this because you climbed the tree. My plan for today was just to take you to the park and to get you some pizza and not to have somebody go sticking needles through your forehead. But once you climbed the tree, now I have to have someone stick needles through your forehead. That's my care for you now. That's my love for you now because of this, of the route that you chose. That's what this route involves. And it's also going to involve for the next few days, I might have to scrub it with alcohol. And that might hurt too. So this is part of the point. A person wants to trust that everything that's happening to a person is for their good. But if a person wants to trust that this is the absolute good, keep it in the optimal state. Because sometimes that good is in order. Why should a person, Chalila, have to invoke kaparas that they could have done without? And now the person needs the kapara. It's the best thing for them. But the person could have avoided it in the first place. So that's the Chovas HaLevavos' point here. That's the Chovas HaLevavos' point here. The love never goes away. Just that Hashem says, I have my ideal, my plan A for you. And then there are the things that are going to have to happen if you pull it onto a plan B. Okay. So here. Okay, we'll move on to the next premise. And here we'll just begin introducing the subject of Hishtadlus, which we're going to spend a while on as we go along. So that's premise number four, the understanding that if you really want to know that this is the absolute best for me, don't mess it up by spiting Hashem kiviyachol, by defying him, and then don't expect that the optimal plan is going to play out. Number five is, and here, like I said before, if we'll just sum it up, it's understanding Hashtadlus. That's really premise number five. And that is a big discussion that we're about to begin now. It'll probably take us a few weeks. Understanding where Hishtadlus fits into the system, understanding how to go about it properly, etc. So he says it as follows. He builds it up in a very interesting way. And we'll start now. Hagdama Chamishis, premise number five, is Sheyisboer Etzlo, that a person has to understand. Ki Hashlamas Hadvarim HaMischad Shimbo'il HaMazel HaAchar HaYitzira. that the events of this world, meaning the things that happen in this world after the creation, meaning Hashem has the natural processes in place, those are predictable, those just happen. But outside of that, there are all kinds of events, occurrences, etc., which are also part of Hashem's plan. He says, "Ubishnei dvar." He says, basically, anything that happens is it fits into one of two categories. Echad mehem gzeres habayris ale, v'cheftzei biyitziyosam elvul ha'havai. One are Hashem has his different plans, things that he wants to happen, and those things happen. Hasheni, he says, number the other category of things are sibais umitsuim, are all kinds of mediums. Mehem kroivim umehem rechoikim. Some of them are more immediate, some of them are more distant. Meanwhile, this is still a little abstract. Momentarily, Bli Nedar will bring this all home in a very concrete kind of way. Mehem niglim umehem nistarim. Some are more obvious, some are less obvious. V'kulam rotzim lahashlim ashen nigzar havayosoy v'ra'osoy v'ezer lekim lahem alzeh. All these things are mediums leading toward the person getting what Hashem planned for him. Okay, let's try to illustrate this. Let's try to illustrate this concept that we're saying here in a little bit of a more practical way, in a less abstract way. Hashem wants a certain shidduch to happen. Okay? So Hashem wants this shadchinta to meet girl in a certain place at a certain time. Fine. Which place should that be? Maybe at a seamstress. Maybe at a seamstress. Okay. How does Hashem get the shadchinta and the girl to the seamstress at the same time? So he makes the girl one of her favorite skirts rips. Okay. How did that skirt rip? So Hashem manipulated that somebody should drop a banana peel on the floor at the right time. Now, in order for that person to have that banana, Hashem had to set it up already 10 years ago that the fruit and vegetable store opens at 6:30, not at 7. Okay? So 10 years ago, a Korean guy who was opening a fruit store was deciding whether he should open at 6:30 or at 7. And Hashem says, well, I need Mr. Jones to drop a banana peel on the floor on April 8th, in 12 years from now. Well, this is very real. It sounds humorous, but this is really the way Hashem operates. Mr. Jones always, he works like clockwork. Some characteristics, he doesn't usually drop banana peels on the floor. He's a very yakisha guy. But his fruit and vegetable shopping is always at 6:45. So I need this Korean guy to open the store at 6:30. So this guy has been open at 6:30 for years. Why? So that Mr. Jones should be able to buy his bananas there. Okay? Mr. Jones buys his banana every single day at the same time. And yes, 12 years later, he drops a banana peel once on the floor. And this girl of ours, she's walking by exactly then. She slips, she tears her skirt, and she has to take it to the seamstress. Oh, okay. Now let's get the shadchinta there. So this is how he got the girl to the seamstress at that time. Now we have to get the shadchinta there. Okay, well, the shadchinta stops into the seamstress to schmooze every morning. That's fine. Okay, fine. But the problem is that she gets there a little too early. Girl's only going to get there a little later. Today she has to miss her bus. Okay. In order for that to happen, Hashem wants there to be a few less people at the previous bus stop so that the driver goes a little faster than anticipated. So he keeps a few people at home that morning. They're not at the bus stop, and the driver just drives by the bus stop, and she misses the bus by a minute. She has to wait for the next bus. Okay? Everybody kind of finds a little intricate, but everybody with me on this? Okay. This is what Chavos HaVav is saying here. Mr. Jones walks by and accidentally drops his banana peel. That goes into category number two. These are the mediums. There's a whole bunch of mediums, things that are happening all around. You have no idea why. They are mediums leading up to things. Everything that happens basically in your life can always be traced back, a whole very interesting, bizarre chain of events that goes back. You just take something that happened in your life and just trace back its causes. It's very fascinating if you really start thinking about it. From little things to big things. And so he's saying there are the things that Hashem has planned that he wants to happen, and then Hashem has all the steps leading up to it that he implements in order to get it there. Okay? This, by the way, this is actually very relevant. It's almost in Yonah De'ema. We're talking about Megillas Esther. Right? Megillas Esther is one of the epitomes of that, of all kinds of things that Hashem is busy setting in place all around in all kinds of interesting places, so that things should play out exactly as he wants them to. That Rabbi Avigdor Miller says that that is the pshat and the ubiquitous vav. Right? Vav is probably the most psukim in the Torah, by far, open with the letter vav, right? Vayehi, vayomer, etc. And here you have to take Megillas Esther. Opens with the vav. And it was. And it's starting here. And is something connective to what happened previously. Why do things happen with a vav? Right? What does it connect to previously? So no, there's a message here. Hashgacha, things are the result of other things that Hashem put in place. In the Megillah, we see some of it in the 9 years of the Megillah. But actually, the Vayehi b'Me'ach HaShverosh is telling you, look further back, you'll see more of the story of the Megillah. It connects to what was previously. So, here, where he's going toward this, with this, and this will just end with that for now, this is what he's leading up to. He's going to say, let's say for you to get food today involves many steps leading toward it. Many steps leading toward it. Now, what he's going to say is many of the steps in that chain, Hashem manipulates. But the way Hashem operates is, and he's creating that chain, he's setting up the whole chain. Let's say there are 50 links in the chain. The last three, he might leave blank, and he might leave for you to take care of. For example, what? Hashem is going to, you want food today? You're gonna need money to buy that food. So Hashem says, yeah, I'm going to get you the money. Now you have the money. There are a few steps I'm leaving for you. A, you have to go to the makomet. That's one of the steps in place for you to have food. One of the chain, one of the links in the chain. You have to go to the grocery. B, you're going to have to actually put the food, cook the food. That's another link in the chain. And C, D, you're going to have to take a fork, stab the food, pick it up, and put it in your mouth. So let's say a person comes and says, Hashem says, I have food intended for this person this morning. Now the person is sitting at the table, food is in front of him, and he goes like this and says, all right, there's food on the plate. There's a knife on the right side, a fork on the left side. If Hashem wants me to be nourished, I'll be nourished. He sits there looking at the food. And he says, if in an hour from now I'm still hungry, that means that that's what Hashem decreed on me. Because if he wanted me to be satiated, I'd be satiated. So the knife is clean, the fork is clean, the food's on the plate, getting cold, and nothing happens. And you know what? At the end of the day, finally, someone comes and clears the plate away, and you know what? The guy's hungry. And he says, apparently, this is what Hashem decreed. Is that so? No. Hashem decreed that you should have this food. He left a few links in the chain for you to take care of. One of them was picking up the food and chewing it. If you decide not to do that, then you, Hashem said, I did 97% of the steps. Three I decided to leave to you. The food was decreed to you, and you decided not to tap into it. You decided not to cash in. There are a few steps that you need to take to cash in to what I already set up for you, and it's already hanging there. It's there, but there are a few steps that you need to do to cash in. This is what we call hishtadlus, and this is the subject that we're going to be developing, Bezus Hashem. Okay. Agutavach.
Thank you very much, Agutavach Kultos.
Thank you, Agutavach.
Thank you.